Good afternoon, everybody. Hello to all those on the back row on the internet. As we were joking when we were in Canada, you know, we actually got to meet the people that sit on that internet back row. A couple of months ago, Stella and I were invited to a wedding and of some friends of ours for many years that we knew when we were in Worldwide. And they weren't in Worldwide anymore. You know, everybody had moved along several associations. And there was a lady there who, Stella, was one of her best friends. They were best friends at SEP in Scotland, and they hadn't seen each other since, you know, the days when Worldwide started going offline. And in the conversation, they started talking about life, the universe, and everything, and church, funnily enough, came into it, as it normally does. And she said when she moved to the association that we were in previous to where we are now, she was so excited because she would see Estelle again and they could catch up on all the old news and everything. She was really, really happy that, you know, she was back where Estelle was. About 3 weeks later, we left that association and came here. The conversation carried on and, you know, talking about why we left our former association to come here. And this lady said, "I'm so tired of fighting all the time." And basically, she came to the conclusion that where she was somewhere where she could stop fighting. If you could turn, please, to Revelation 12. And this is an event that Mr. Armstrong believed happened when the Attorney General started to try and take over the church back in the late 70s. Revelation 12, and in verse 12, might help if I was in Revelation. Revelation 12, and I've got markers as well. Revelation 12, verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath." No matter who you talk to in the church today, irrespective of colour, race, or the country where they live, everybody in the church seems to be having trials. Satan is angry, as was mentioned in the prayer, the opening prayer. Satan is trying to trip us up all the time. He is angry, and he is running around doing his level best to destroy the church. Destroy us one by one if he can. There don't seem to be any small trials either. When you talk to each other, you can see that people are tired. People are going through it. But are we going to rest? Are we going to stop fighting? To give up, holding on to that foundation? In this sermonette, I just want to give us all encouragement, myself included, not to rest, but to hold fast, to persevere through the trials that we are going through, to run that race so that we may taste the joy of crossing that finish line, of being with Christ when he returns to this earth, not sitting yards from the finish line in despair because we gave up just before the finish line. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 10. All of these scriptures today I'm going to use are ones we all know very well. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God doesn't set us up to fail. Satan wants to believe that that is true. Satan is allowed to throw trials in our paths, not so that we will fail, but so that we may go through a testing, become stronger through the trials that we go through, become more refined, more like our elder brother Christ. At our office, where I work, we work in this 1960s/70s concrete rectangular block, and we're building an extension onto it. Not on the side or on the back, as most people build extensions, but we're building upwards. Now, the building that we've got wasn't designed to be extended upwards, and we've got several options from a structural point of view of how we're going to carry the load. Now, the structural engineer has put forward two ways of doing this. We can use beams that are 3 foot tall by 12 metres long, so they're quite deep beams, and they will be able to be put in place and you can put the load onto them, and they'll do the job. Second option, he said, is, well, you can use a beam that's only 1 foot deep. You think, well, hang on a minute, how is a 1 foot beam going to do the same job as a 3 foot beam? What you do, you get the beam and it arrives on site and it's slightly curved in the middle, like a bit of a low humpback bridge. And you put it into place and then you stress it with about 7.5 tons of weight, so that in its stressing it deflects downwards so that it's almost flat. You then bolt it to the concrete roof below. You then very carefully take the weight off. And yes, that is one of the things that made us laugh as well. You have to do it very carefully because you can imagine what might happen. But as the weight is taken off, the beam wants to pull back to its original position. But it is now, through the stressing, been joined to the roof below, and it is as strong as the 3 foot beam. Before you stress it, it wasn't capable of taking the same loads. But because it has been put under pressure and under stress, it is now strengthened and can support the same weight as the larger beam. Just remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, what we've just read. God is faithful. He will look after those that strive to do what God requires. Every time I go through a trial, I finally come round to getting my mind back on the children of Israel, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, you know, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, or as one minister I remember calling them, Meshach, Meshach and Abungalow. It's the only way I can remember it. But the trials they had, you know, worship this image or you're in the burner. You know, I wouldn't like to go through those sort of trials. But even then, through supernatural God's protection on them, they were able to go into the fire untouched. And Nebuchadnezzar had a rather acute adjustment of attitude when they came out again. Their trial was a test, and they came out all the stronger. The children of Israel were given a trial, 40 years in the wilderness. But again, God was faithful to them. Their shoes never wore out. There was the cloud guiding them by day and the fire by night. Water and food was provided. They did not starve. God gave them a way out. He took care of them. He will also look after us and give us a way out of our trials. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And we're just going to read, just very quickly, some of the items that I've just mentioned. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Dropping down to verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He knew that God would give him a way out of the trial. Drop down to verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Moses' parents trusted in God, had faith in God that he would deliver Moses. Dropping down to verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of someone with a name that is unpronounceable for me, also of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God is true to his word. We must have faith in his promise. He has promised earlier that he will not put us through more than we are able to bear. He has said that he will deliver us. He will give us a way out. I'm sure when Joseph was sitting in prison, he wasn't sitting there thinking, I'm going through some trials that are going to make me train specifically as an economic whiz kid with an agriculture ability to take this country and my family through years of famine. God knew what training Joseph needed to be prepared for what he needed to do. It's a good job we weren't given the job of training Joseph to be ready. We would probably think Eton College, Oxford University for the first degree, and unlike that, we look at it from a human standpoint. God is looking at the big picture. He is seeing what we need to be strengthened, to be refined, to rub off those rough edges that we have. But out of it all, Joseph came out knowing that he could trust in God and that God would keep his promise. Turn with me, please, to Jude 1. Jude, there is only one chapter. And in verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe." Let us not be in that group of the people here who did not believe and who were destroyed. Let us hold fast to that faith that was once delivered, faith that God will keep his word. Dropping down to verse 17. "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. We are blessed with that Spirit." Dropping down to verse 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." God is able to keep us from stumbling. He alone is wise, it says here. He knows what is needed for us to move on, to become more like his Son. Please turn back to Revelation 12, where we first started, because whilst it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth," it is actually a very encouraging scripture. Just read verse 12 again. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time." That should be great encouragement. Satan is angry because he knows that there is a little time before Christ, our Saviour, returns to this earth. In conclusion, we are going through the similar process of that beam that I described. We are having stresses put onto us, testing us, but we are coming out it stronger the other side. The beam that we were going to use for our office couldn't do the job of the 3-foot beam before it was loaded, before it was stressed. We are not quite ready to teach the people in the millennium God's ways. We are just having the rough edges taken off of us, being prepared still. It's not a training regime that I'm sure we would choose for ourselves. I'm sure we would choose a much easier training regime. But God is wise and he knows what we need. Let us not call God a liar by saying he can't or won't deliver us. He has said he will. Let us have faith in the fact that he will keep his word. Let us have faith in what the apostles preached. And that includes our apostle at the end time. He was the apostle who taught all of us the truth of God's word. Faith in God, for he is true to his word, and he will not test us more than we are able. But he will strengthen us so that we can endure to the end, when we will be able to receive the crown that he has ready for us.